Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry.
This week's message is titled, All Things New. Thank you to Amy, Ed, Don, and everyone else who made the service possible. The scripture readings are from Isaiah 54, 9-10, and 13-14, and Revelation 21, 1-4. Happy birthday this week to Alice and to Pam.
Revelation 21, verse 1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us today. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of spending some time with Charles Swindoll, wonderful, wonderful minister. He was preaching in California at that time, and somehow he and I started chatting. And I'd say about a month later, thinking I would never see him again, a huge box came to our door, and it was all his sermons that he had preached. He said, You have them, I have no good for them anymore, which was ridiculous because just a brilliant, brilliant minister. And here's one of the things that he said in this book. No need to prolong the story or complicate it or embellish it or to try to explain it. Just declare it. The facts speak for themselves. Jesus of Nazareth said that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 20 and verse 40. Later, he said that he would suffer, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Matthew 16, 21. Betrayed by Judas, he was seized, placed under arrest, pushed hurriedly through several trials, all of them illegal trials, and declared guilty. First of blasphemy, next of treason. Luke 22, 70. Finally, all the disciples left him and fled, alone and forsaken. He endured the torture of scourging, the humiliation of insults and mockery, and the agony of that walk to Golgotha. The horrors of crucifixion followed, leaving him suspended for 6 excruciating hours, the last 3 of which were spent in eerie darkness that fell over the whole land. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, Jesus uttered his final words. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Then he died. Then a gentleman by the name of Joseph, Arimathea, and Nicodemus took him down from the cross, prepared the body for burial, and placed it in the garden in a new tomb. Because he had predicted, after 3 days I will rise again, the chief priests and Pharisees had the tomb secured by a large stone, a seal set on the stone, and a body of men sent to guard that site. Guarded and sealed, the tomb was silent. He remained lifeless, untouched, unseen, until the hours early in the morning of the first day of that week. Before dawn, a miracle occurred, bodily, silently, victoriously, Jesus rose from the dead. In the resurrection, he passed through the stone, leaving the mummy-like wrappings still intact. When astonished people visited the site that morning, they found the stone rolled away and the body gone. Then they were asked by angels, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just as he said." There are many today who still seek for him among the dead, but they'll never find him, because just as Jesus promised, he arose. If you're among those who believe in miracles, if you find hope in Christ's resurrection, if you thrill at the sounds of Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah, then we need to say so. He is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We read the story over and over again. Powerful story, reminding us what Jesus already knew. The newness of all things. His resurrection, the newness of all things. In our baptism, resurrection, new things. So for just a couple of moments, if you'll permit me, I just want to read some of these scriptures that I think have been very helpful to me. And again, for many of us, we have heard the story that I've just read. And many of us still really don't want to listen to it. It's just too gruesome. And yet, Jesus would say, "No, I did it for you. All things new." Way back in Psalm chapter 40, he put a new song in my mouth. He put a hymn of praise to our God. That's thousands of years ago that it was written. It's just the same as it was. The wonder of Jesus, his death, his life, his burial, his resurrection. For who? For us. Sometimes we forget what happened through all of this. The word "new" appears frequently, as we've said. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 5, I love this scripture, "All things have been made new." And then in Ecclesiastes, again, a book that we seldom read, in chapter 1 and verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun. So sing to the Lord a new song. God is doing a new thing and making way of the wilderness. God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning, God's mercy comes to us every single morning. "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive this? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." And then the book in the Old Testament that many of us do not want to read. It's difficult and it's full of horror. In Lamentations The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to the end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That comes after the very difficult times of the Israelites, as I've just spoken about. And so we move forward into the New Testament, reminding us of new things. What will happen today? What will happen tomorrow? What joy there will be. In Romans chapter 6, often talking about baptism, we are buried, therefore, with him in baptism, into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too may walk in the newness of life. And for many of us who've watched baptism, participated in our baptism, our baptistry is behind us. And generally, it's just a coming together of loved ones. And the one who is going to be saying, I'm giving my life to Christ, as many of us have done. We come into water, hopefully warm water, and we have a few words. Maybe some of the words that I've already said. We baptize someone, come into the water, coming up out of the water, celebrating a new life. Back in the Old Testament, Jesus was talked about, and then he demonstrated his death, his burial, his resurrection, and our baptism is very much that same. Martin Luther said, when you wash your face, remember your baptism. In baptism, we know we belong to him. Jesus was covered by the earth in his burial, and we're buried in our baptism. And again, Lamentations is not a book that's very pleasant to read, but there are some wonderful comments. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to the end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hymns that we sing very, very often. But then there are others that we don't read very often, but they maintain. 1 Chronicles 13. And they put the ark of God on a new cart, and it took out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah. And that cart was carried along by the Ten Commandments. And be careful with all of that. And that's a different story altogether. The Ark of the Covenant was profound. Every offering of burned offerings to the Lord on Sabbath, and the new moons, and on the regular feasts, and ordered by the law at all times before the Lord. And then through the Old Testament, coming up to where we are now in the New Testament, just remarkable. Take away the old leaven, for Christ has been put to death as our Passover. It is a reality of old and new and what will come. It's incredible what God had planned, has been planning, and will plan for all of us. Take away the old leaven, yep, for Christ has been part of death of that Passover. And then 1 Corinthians, in the same way, again, communion that we just had. In the same way, with the cup, after the meal, he said, this cup is the New Testament in our body, blood. Do this whenever you take it in memory of me. Every Sunday, we take our communion we just did, sacrificing past, present, and our future. And Jesus is our Passover, and we continue to share the Passover every Sunday, remembering his death, remembering his burial, remembering his resurrection, and ours together. It's new every morning. And in 1 Peter, he says, because you have had a new birth, not from the seed of man, but from the eternal seed through the word of the living and the unchanging God. Thousands of years, and it's still the same. And so let me conclude in this brief message. In 1 Peter, he says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his great mercy has given us a new birth and a living hope by the coming again of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a promise. It is a promise. And all things new can be remembered to put into practice every day. It's a daily demonstration of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, gentleness, of self-control. Living by faith and the expectation of seeing God's face, seeing the face of Jesus, seeing our loved ones again. It's not a maybe. It is a reality for us. Amen.
Thanks for watching. Have a great day.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.